It's Chicago's Afternoon News. I'm Steve Bertrand. Again, it's a Tuesday, obviously. Often these stories get play on Monday, but the death toll, the violence, the number of shootings soared again over the long holiday weekend. Of note, 11 children and teens killed. There was a tweet from Father Michael Flager just about 24 hours ago. "Stop killing our children," with several exclamation points. He joins us now. Father, welcome.
You know, Steve, years ago when I was in seminary, I was a chaplain at the Cook County Jail. And if you had come into the jail and you had killed a child or somebody's mother, you had to be isolated or you would be killed in the jail. And I'm wondering, you know, in 2021, do we have more code of honor in the jail than we do on the street?
It's discouraging. I mean, we can talk. I mean, you know, Father, I'm tempted to single out a case, which is just ridiculous, because the loss of any of the children or anyone who's killed is a sad and tragic story. What do you make of Police Superintendent Brown's statement over the weekend, telling people that, you know, to keep the kids away from family members who are on the wrong side of the law?
Well, I mean, we have to, and not just kids. I mean, I tell folks here all the time, if you've got friends or if you've got relatives who are out in the street and they're doing street stuff, you need to not let them come to your house, not sit on your porch, because what you do is you bring that danger to your house. If you're going to the store with them, if you're walking to the park with them, because it's a different day, Steve. You know, years ago, if I wanted to get Steve Burton, I'm going to look for you. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to find you. I'm going to look in the eye and say, I told you I was going to get you, and I'm going to come for you. But that day's gone. And now what happens is that people just don't care who they shoot. You know, if they're mad at somebody, they'll shoot the house up. They'll shoot the porch up. They'll shoot the park up. And so often, innocent people are being shot. You don't want anybody shot.
Right.
But innocent people are being shot just because of who they're with, or the people they're standing with on the porch or in the playground or on the street corner or whatever. And so you have to, unfortunately, disconnect yourself from people who are into the street life. Even that may be your brother, your sister, your uncle, your whatever. You just got to do that, because what it does is it brings danger to your door.
We're talking to Father Michael Flager about the situation in the city of Chicago when it comes to violence. You know, Father, we hear from you, and I'm grateful for your voice, but I'm interested in what your parishioners at St. Sabina are telling you. Is your outrage shared with them?
Oh, it is. Absolutely is. But, you know, one of the frustrating things has been that we don't feel that the city has connected with the communities. You know, we often hear over and over, and I totally agree, that we can't police our way out of this, and I agree. But I don't think we've done a good job in this city of empowering the communities to get involved, to get engaged in this, to be a partner in this, other than just telling them to speak up. You know, when we had the COVID thing, Steve, we had everybody engaged and involved. We had a major campaign all in Illinois and all in Chicago. And unfortunately, everything keeps coming from the top down. And I think we've got to reconnect communities. We've got to empower communities that they're part of the solution, and help them and offer them the information they need and the empowerment for their community, as well as we need to have avenues for young people who want help or want to make a change in their life. Now, we have a center here. We have young people come in here all the time, but it's one place. You know, if a brother now wants to get out of a gang or is afraid and wants to make a change in his life, go back to school, whatever, where does he go? If he doesn't know of a particular place, what does he call, 311?
Right.
I mean, there's a whole comprehensive approach I think we need to take, and we're not taking in the city, and that's discouraging to me, because I think people do want to get involved.
Father Flager, let me ask you a question I ask the aldermen when we talk to them, and or maybe they tell me, but they say that when it comes to their local commanders, the neighborhood police commanders, that the relationship is great and that the work is great, but there's a disconnect when it comes to the superintendent's office or the mayor's office, that somehow there's not this sort of fluid feeling of cooperation. Is that your experience as well?
It is. It absolutely is. I have a great relationship with the commander in the 6th District. She's tremendous. She's great, and we work well with her. I have no relationship with the superintendent, nor with the mayor. We've tried. We've reached out to try to get meetings.
Well, let me interrupt you there, but do you need to? I mean, wouldn't it be, isn't the relationship with the local commander more important than with City Hall?
No, because the local commander can't do many, they can't make the decision to do many of the things that need to be done in the neighborhoods. You know, we need to have and I've been saying this for months, a big brand new rollout of block clubs and reconnecting people on their block. We tried to push to having a ring program where people put rings on all their houses, mm-hmm. so that when we're trying to catch somebody, if somebody doesn't want to speak up, guess what? We have them on camera. I mean, there's a lot of things we try, but you have to. A lot of these have to be implemented from the city or from the superintendent's office. And they have to engage the neighbors in the community. And I don't think that's happened.
We're talking to Father Michael Flager about the violence in Chicago. You know, every time I have one of these conversations, Father, I can look at my text line and there are people saying, let the cops do their jobs. The police officers say that their hands are being tied. Are their hands being tied?
Well, I've heard that from some police officers, but I'll tell you, many police officers that I know, some members of my church, some who were in the 6th District, do not feel that. They feel that they can do their job and they can do it respectfully, and many of them have very good relationships in the community. So I don't want to make a judgment statement one way or the other, but I think a whole lot depends on the individual police officer and being involved in the community, the beat that he has. But I think our police are being overworked. I mean, I know police officers who are covering 3 and 4 beats. They shouldn't have to do that.
Yeah, I think the mistake we make is that thinking it's all or one, that the police either have, that you can't have good policing without good police oversight, and we've got to find a balance where there's both.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. It's both and. It's not either or.
Right. Tell me also about the gun buyback. We talked last time about this, and you opened my eyes to it. I foolishly said it was a drop in the bucket, but then you talked about the follow-up you have with the young men or the young women who turn in the guns. Where are we in that, and how's it going?
3 people right now who turned in guns the first time are now in jobs, and they have mentors, and we have them meeting with a counselor. So we've seen some lives turn around, and I'm just one of these people, Steve, at this age of my life, I've kind of learned I'm not... I would like to have 300 people's lives be turned around, but you know what? If we kick 3 people off the street who are shooting and get them in jobs, reconnect them with their family, and they're looking at their future and their purpose and what they want to do with the rest of their life, that's 3 people who won't be shooting out there. And there's others we're working with now, but 3 who are now having 9-to-5 jobs.
That's fantastic. I like to say that we're all in this together. We have to stop talking about us and them, but it's us, the city, it's us. But the fact is that many of us lead very different lives from others. So many of my listeners, whether they're listening, you know, in the suburbs or in wealthy neighborhoods in the city, I want to give you the opportunity to explain or tell them what they should know about where you're living.
Well, I mean, one of the things you should know about where I'm living is, you wake up every morning and you look down, drive down the street, and see abandoned buildings, you see abandoned homes, you see a neighborhood that looks forgotten and abandoned and neglected. And so you become how our neighborhood looks often is how we value ourselves. You know, so I'm saying I must not be much, we're worth much, because I look at the neighborhood and look how it looks like to me and look at all the empty lots and the empty stores and the empty buildings of people who have lost their houses or lost their apartments. So that says a message to you that you're not worth a whole lot. And then if there's not a lot of opportunities and options, but both for jobs, for programs to get involved in and be engaged in as young people. And then when the violence is so that a child is asking me to pray for them that they don't get killed the school year to coming to school or going from school, and the poverty and the racism and all the other isms that go with it, you know, our children are traumatized. And our children are overwhelmed. You know, we had a boy buried here a couple of weeks ago, 14 years old child. And one of his 8th grade classmates said to me, I blame myself. I blame myself. I said, why would you blame yourself? Well, maybe I could have been with him that day and have helped him. I said, no, there's no way in the world you should feel responsible. But that's the kind of trauma and the kind of pain that is spread within the community, so that we've got to find some hope. We've got to find some answers. We've got to let the young people know we care about them, we love them. It's helping the parents be better parents. And that's another whole issue. We have a lot of parents that are not doing the parenting they should, but we'll get mothers or fathers that will reach out and say, well, how can I get help in parenting? And again, where do you go? You know, call 311, say, I need to help with parenting. We need to provide the opportunities and the resources to help parents, to help communities, to help law clubs. And we need to deal with this gun issue, with the love affair of guns in our neighborhoods. So it's so complex, and it can become overwhelming. But I think there's a whole lot of things we can do simultaneously, and we're not doing a good job at that.
Father Michael Flager, thank you for taking time to talk with us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for caring, Steve. I appreciate it.
Always. You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720. We're going to get into the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming up.